devotion from the book of John, chapter 10, verse 1 to 21. John 10, verse 1 to 21. And we'll focus on verse 16. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we are so grateful that we can gather around your word. And we pray now that you may be with us by the presence of your Spirit and help us to understand and to apply this word to ourselves. And these things we pray in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. John 10, verse 1 to 21, focusing on verse 16. Very quickly, let me read these verses. I am the good shepherd. Truly, truly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens the sheep. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep, and that's our focus, verse 16. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. 19. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who is obsessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Thus far we read God's word. Amen. In verse 16 we read and we find these words, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus introduces himself to be the door and the shepherd. He takes care of his flock. As shepherd, Jesus has his own sheep, he says. Before he can even call them, he says, they are mine. They are mine. He says, I have other sheep. I must call them also. I must bring them also. Jesus has come, and he has come, and he is calling his own sheep. He is creating a new people, a new flock. And even before he calls them, some are his and some are not his. Those that are his, he says, they recognize his voice and they will follow, they will obey, they will believe in him, they will follow him. And so I want us to look at this theme. Jesus came to bring us back to his fold. And the first thing that he says in verse 16 is that I have other sheep. They belong to me. They are mine. The question that we can quickly ask is, how can Jesus already have them? He's very certain, I have other sheep. They are mine. They belong to me. How can Jesus already have them? How can Jesus have his own sheep before he calls them? He has come to seek for his sheep and he says, they are mine. They belong to me. How is this possible? This is possible, for they already belong to God, his Father. God gives them to Jesus. Listen to these words in John 17:6. Jesus says in his prayer, I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, Jesus says, and you gave them to me. Out of the world, I have manifested your name to them. They were yours. You gave them to me. God had chosen these sheep for himself and gave them to Jesus. Jesus says, they were yours and you gave them to me. And so he can confidently say that I have other sheep that are not of this fold and I must bring them back. Again in John 6:37 we find these words. All that the Father gives me will come to me. What the Father gives me will come to me. The Father has them before they came to Jesus. So Jesus can say in verse 16, I have other sheep and I must bring them because the Father had chosen them for himself and he gives them to the Son. But even more so, in Hebrews 1:4, we read, God chose us in Jesus before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. And so here Jesus is confidently saying, I have other sheep that are not of this fold, and I must bring them also. I have come to seek those that are lost, and I must bring them. That's the second thing that we find. He says, I must bring them. I have them, I must bring them. The word must here is crucial. He's not saying maybe they'll come to me, I must bring them. Your salvation was included in this must. I must bring my sheep, Jesus says. Now this is the must of divine necessity. The Father has chosen them and Jesus says, I must bring them. He's not saying maybe they'll come to me. I have them and I must bring them, he says. And so he says, I will lay my life down for them. I'm a good shepherd. I'm not a hired one who flees when I see the hoof or the enemy. I will lay down my life for them. I must bring them. How? I'm going to lay down my life for them. I must bring them. In other words, there is no question. They will come back. They will be brought back. It is not possible that the father would choose a flock for the son and give them to the son, and yet the son fails to bring them. Or, and yet the flock says, no, sorry, but not me. They belong to Jesus. I must bring them. I must bring them, Jesus says. The salvation of Christ's sheep must take place. And so Jesus, a good shepherd, lays down his life and he says, I must do this. The question is, how does he bring them back? And we must even personalize this question. How did he bring you back? How did he bring me back into his fold? How? By his word. He brings them by his word. He calls them. And they listen to his voice. They identify his voice and they say, that is my master's voice. I believe that voice. I trust my master. And I obey. I listen. I follow him. How? By his word. He calls them. Look at verse 3. To him, the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them. He brings them to himself by calling them. And if we ask how he does that today, the answer is found in John 20, 21 and 17, 20. He says to his disciples, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. As who have come to believe in Jesus, as who are following Jesus, Jesus is saying, my Father sent me to bring you back, and I'm sending you into the world to call others. I have others one out of this fold. I must bring them also. How is Jesus doing that? He is sending us into the world that we may preach the gospel message, that those who are lost, that those who are his, they may turn back. When we preach, it's a general calling. We preach to all people. Those who have been chosen, they identify, they listen to the word of Christ, and they believe, and they follow. Usually the fear of many people, when I speak to people and when I encourage people to say, let's do street evangelism, they say, my fear is when I speak to somebody, when I call them to Jesus and they refuse, I feel so bad and I feel so embarrassed. Whose word is it? Jesus' word. All we have to do is bring this word before the people, and those who are his, they'll listen to the word and they'll follow. He says, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. I want to believe that every Christian is sent out to go and preach the gospel message and to go and call the people to Christ. He says, they will listen to my voice. I have them. And I must bring them. They will listen. What you and I have to do is simply to bring the gospel message to the people. And Jesus says, they will listen to my voice. Those who are mine will listen. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. Lest we miss the point of saying, I must bring them. Lest we fail to hear the certainty in the word must. Jesus says, with absolute authority, they will listen to my voice. And that means they will respond. They will obey. They will come. Verse 4, when he has brought out of his own, he goes before them and the sheep follow him. When I listen to this image, I try to imagine what happens when I see people, you know, taking care of the sheep. Usually, in my culture, the person is behind and is, you know, guiding the flock. But that's not so much the picture that we find here. Here what we find is the shepherd is in front. He's in front and the flock follows him. So when he has brought all his own, he goes before them. He's in front. He guides them and they follow. For they know his voice. And so they follow the voice of the good shepherd. This is how you know if you are not of his sheep. The question is, do you believe that which you read in the scriptures? Do you follow that which you read? Or you read and you listen and you do the other thing, exactly the opposite of what you read in the scriptures. If you are his own, you read and you desire to follow. You believe that which you read, and you begin to follow King Jesus. You don't give excuses. Oh yes, I've read what he's saying today in his word, but not now, maybe tomorrow. Maybe later when I'm a little bit older. When I speak to the youth sometimes, you know, they say, now I just want to live my life. I'll begin to follow Jesus when I'm a little bit older. Do you even know that you're going to be older? How sure are you? His own don't give excuses. His own listen to his voice and they begin to follow. They begin to follow. They listen and they begin to follow. When Jesus speaks, how do you know you are his? That which you hear, you want to integrate it with your life. Then you are humble and you say, Lord, how can I follow you better, even today? I hear your voice. I read in the scriptures, and that which I read, I want to apply it in my life. He says, I have my own. They'll listen and they'll follow. Now, this is also teaching me that sometimes when I speak to people in the street, it's not always that they'll believe and they'll listen and they'll follow. It's not always. Some will turn away and just say, don't waste my time, please. I'm sorry. Go your way. And I've had such experiences where I speak to people, I bring the word of God to them, and others are rude. They're not even interested. And sometimes I have church flyers, I want to speak to people and give them flyers. They're interested. But once they realize it's from church, not for me. Or they thought maybe I'm advertising some business or something, they're going to take it. But now that they know that from the church, I'm not interested. They don't even care which church is it. As long as they just say it's from the church, you're a pastor. They don't even want to take it. Maybe if you're advertising something, you're also going to take it. Yes, others will rebel or reject, but others will listen. And I've had people, when you begin to speak, it's the word of God, they're interested, they even want to hear more. Jesus says, yes, I have others on it of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen, they will obey. My comfort is, when I see somebody rebelling, I just pray for them that one day they will realize who Jesus is and begin to follow him. And when I find those who are interested want to listen more, I continue to bring them the word of God. So this teaches me there are two types of people. Those who are not, and those who are going to rebel and say, no, sorry, I'm not for this. And those who are going to be interested to listen. What I just have to do is to bring them the word of God. And every Christian has this obligation to bring God's word to the general public. Just as my Father sent me, Jesus says, I am sending you also. Every Christian is sent out. It's not just the duty of the pastor, the elders, every Christian, everyone who believes, everyone who has been saved, you go out and testify. You have heard? Do you believe? Do you treasure the teaching of Jesus Christ? Do you obey and go and call others to this faith? Shall we pray? Father above in heaven, we thank you even this moment for your dear Son, Jesus Christ, whom you sent to this world to come and seek for us. We thank you for the gift of faith that we could believe in him and everything that he teaches us. And so, Lord, we pray now that you will inspire us, you will encourage us with your Spirit to go out and to invite many others to faith. Just as you sent your Son, so he sent us to this world that would bear witness to the gospel truth. Please, Lord, forgive us, however we may not have adhered to this command. We pray that you'd forgive us. And we pray that going further, you'd encourage each one of us to be faithful and to share the gospel message, that even those who are not yet of this fold would come and that they would obey King Jesus. Please, Lord, be with us for the rest of this day. We pray that you would guide us by the presence of your Spirit. We pray that, Lord, you will help us even in the beginning of this second semester, that, Lord, you will help each one of us and encourage us to do the right thing, to study your word and to integrate it with our lives, that indeed we be transformed and conformed into the very image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. These things we pray to his glory alone. Amen.